I took my meds today and everything. And I'm even drinking an energy drink like a good girl.
Yes. Maybe you should switch to some Texas tea. I got some Poteet strawberry white tea. It's so good.
Poteet?
Huh?
Poteet?
Yeah. Poteet, Texas. I don't know if that means something else.
I thought it was like a plant or something. I'm got something called a Poteet down there?
No, all the Texas teas are named after different Texas towns. So, like, you've got Fredericksburg peach, and you've got Poteet strawberry, Sugarland sugar sweet. Oh, it's so good.
You are sounding so Texan right now. It's very cute.
I'm letting it out. There's a little cowgirl that lives at the back of my throat, and I keep her down most of the time, but then she comes up every now and then.
Hi, welcome to Two Lacquered Ladies, the podcast about nail polish and nail art by the ladies who stream it. I'm Stephanie, aka Fanatic here on every social media platform that matters. I'm an unprofessional nail artist, and I like to make fan art on my nails.
Howdy, my name is Danny, and you can find me as Danny Shout online. I'm a science educator by day and a nail art hobbyist by night. On stream, I like to create scenes with themes on my nails.
Welcome back, everybody.
Salutations.
Salutations. We got a complaint, Danny, that last time the fancy southern cat wasn't with us.
Oh, well, hi. Sorry. Well, I guess I'll do that from now on.
Well, hi. I think it's okay to change, but I was happy to see that people enjoyed the southern cat reference. Oh, it has been a while since Danny and I recorded. We've had a lot going on. Specifically, I have had a lot going on. Danny, you've been on spring break.
I have. I've been relaxing. I watched two movies. I went to a wolf sanctuary that was really cool. So, yeah, I was enjoying my break, maybe a little too much, and I got nothing done.
You know what? You released a bunch of videos, like, in
a row.
I did
catch up on my videos. That was nice. I still have one more to play catch up with, and then I should be back on my regular not schedule, because I've never stuck to a schedule very well, but I'm going to try. I'm going to keep trying.
You know, that's, like, the only way to do it. Like, if you give up, you've given up. Everybody write that on a shirt.
Exactly. You miss all the shots you don't take. You shoot for the moon, you'll still land among the stars. I hate that saying, by the way, because, like, the moon is so much closer than the stars. Like, how do you miss the moon? It's right there.
If you miss the moon, you'll come hurtling back to Earth.
Yeah.
Or your spacecraft might explode. It happens every
year. I wouldn't risk it. I would do the math right the first time if I'm going to the moon.
Maybe I'll take this out because it's too mean, but, you know, the whole idea that's been floating around about, like, orbital Earth travel, where you, like, launch off in a spaceship and, like, 10% of spaceships explode.
Yeah.
But if Elon Musk wants to start making that his personal form of travel.
Yeah, if the billionaires want to try it out first, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
just
fine.
Hop just in, like, that shuttle.
Testing our subs, testing our spacecraft.
You know what? Okay, actually, they are kind of doing that, aren't they?
Yeah, there are little test dummies.
Who needs a crash test dummy when you have Elon Musk just putting himself out there for the rest of us?
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man. You're doing humanity a solid. Not in the way you expected. But yeah, I've been, I had, as you know from the cuticle break last time, if you listened to it, I had my house fumigated, and not everything went wrong, but things did go wrong, so it took longer than expected, and I thought I was going to be back and on my game faster, and I was not. And so everything's been kind of messed up over here. So I've been, like, very quiet on social media, like, more so than I almost ever am. 'Cause I've just been so tired. And every time I see something that requires any brain power, whether it be, you know, an article to read or a reel that a friend has sent me to watch, I'm like, too much.
Too much. Yep.
I can only Stardew Valley and watch anime with my husband. That's all I can do.
And that sounds really nice. I don't think you have to do more than that right now.
Yeah, it has been nice. But yeah, I'm back and I'm hoping to get my Purples video out soon. I keep going, I'm going to swatch for that. And then I just don't.
No, swatching is hard. That's what I knew that already, but I've really learned that with the whole trying to catch up on my spreadsheet stuff that we talked about last time and like keeping up with videos and stuff. Swatching, it takes forever and it's hard. And like, I don't know, it's hard to paint polish on your fingers just to take it off right away. That hurts.
It hurts the heart. It's a dangerous game we play. But yeah, we did both get out our belated Topic Tuesdays.
We did. I'm so proud of us.
Yes. Danny, tell them about your lovely Topic Tuesday video.
Okay. So this was the Topic Tuesday for like February something. It's now mid-March. You know, we're doing great. It was to make a mini nail polish collection based on your favorite rom-com. And that's something we've actually done before on the podcast and had a really fun time with. You made a Suspiria collection. I made one based on Secret of Nim, which we did watch in the Discord. We watched Secret of Nim and then Secret of Nim 2 the next night. And oh boy, the drop in quality is significant.
Those animated sequels will get you every time.
Not every time. You know, like DreamWorks makes a great sequel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for most animated features, if the first one was really good, the second one's really bad.
I feel like with DreamWorks, it's kind of like the opposite of a double-edged sword. I feel like they're not as serious as Disney about creating like the perfect movie. And then so like their sequels are as thought through as their original movies, but their original movies still tend to be pretty good.
Yeah.
So like overall, they're just like, it tends to just be like a better cohesive thing when they're all put together, if that makes sense.
No, totally. Cause then you have, yeah, Disney sequels are notoriously bad.
Yeah.
Straight to DVD or straight to video, you know, sequels. They're not meant to be good. But yeah, so we've done that before in the podcast. It was really fun. So this one was for our favorite rom-com and I chose You've Got Mail, which we also watched in the Discord. That was really nice. And it was so much fun, but I love this movie so much that I kind of like, I hummed and hawed for a long time trying to pick out my polishes because I was like, they must be perfect. No, they don't. Just make the video.
Yeah.
And in fact, I didn't have one of the polishes that I wanted, which would be a white and yellow glitter topper to represent daisies. So I tried to make my own topper and the results were okay.
Hopefully I thought they were like, pretty cute.
Yeah. Like hopefully you can like see what I was going for. That's more that I what I wanted. But it was really fun to make and I really enjoyed that video. So I think I actually want to do something like that more often. On different movies and stuff, just kind of like on a whim or whatever. Because Linry did this as well. She made a collection based off the Glasgow Wonka experience.
It was so good.
It was amazing.
So like, we've been talking, everyone's been talking about this Glasgow Wonka experience nonstop, obviously, yeah, for the last month. Or even less. It hasn't even been that long. And, like, it got to the point where every single video I saw on my feed either had a picture of the sad Oompa Loompa or had the person cosplaying as the sad Oompa Loompa. And Linry's video was no exception. And I saw it and I was just like, Linry, you are not free from sin today. I'm so annoyed. Because, like, I love the Glasgow Wonka experience. But, like, because of that and also, like, everyone I follow, even, like, people who are, like, makeup artists and stuff and nail people are making freaking videos about this. And I'm just so sick of seeing that sad Oompa Loompa face and everybody's impression of the sad Oompa Loompa face. But, yeah, obviously I did love the premise and I watched the video and it was so freaking funny. I was, like, literally, I was, like, dying.
Yeah. No, I hope that this trend of shopping your own stat, it, like, it's a new way to enjoy your collection, to shop your stash and find polishes based on things that you're into right now, whether it be a movie or a show or a weird AI generated experience. I don't know what to even call it besides an experience. A walkthrough, a single bounce house in an empty warehouse. Just dystopia.
Oh my god, one jelly bean.
One jelly bean.
One jelly bean for child. I was gonna say something, I forgot what I was gonna say.
Well, you can tell us about
So what you inspired by this topic Tuesday and other things. Amazing saying that. I also decided to do this because my favorite rom-com is my favorite movie of all time, which is Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And we've watched that. We watched it last year because last year for my birthday, which is coming up, Danny's birthday is coming up on the 10th. Yes. Please swear fealty to us for our birthdays. But yeah, Danny's on the 10th. Yes.
Yes. And you're the 16th, right?
I am the 16th. So we watched that in the Discord last year because I did all of my favorite 80s movies in the Discord last year. And one of them was this, came out in 82, and it's Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton. And they are so cute, and it's such an amazing sex-positive movie. I just love it. I actually watched it with my in-laws this last weekend because we were staying at our in-laws' house. And, well, they're not my husband's in-laws. They're his actual parents, believe it or not. But
is that how that works?
Yeah, it actually is. I just thought in-laws kind of just, like, popped up. But yeah. It turns out they're related to your spouse. But anyway, I also shopped my collection, and I wish honestly that I'd hemmed and hawed more about my collection, because like one thing, that video, I like it, but it is riddled with flaws. And usually when I make a mistake, I'll like write on the screen the mistake that I've made, as many YouTubers do. But honestly, there were some of them that I was just like, I don't even care. Because like one thing, they weren't like, I wasn't telling you like... anything important. There's gonna be a test on it later. But yeah, like I misnamed a polish. I named it Two Birds, One Lay. At first I said Two Hens, One Lay in the video. Then I named it in the title screen Two Birds, One Lay. And then I rewatched the movie and it was One Bird, One Lay. And I was like, I give up.
I give up. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I wish I had chosen, like, there was a blue that's for this, like, very flashy, muckraking newsman, Melvin P. Thorpe. And it was, I chose You're on Sapphire by Orly, and I just wish I had found a flashier blue for him. Mm. Like, he doesn't deserve anything, he sucks, but his character deserves a better polish. So yeah, I wish I thought a little bit more. I wasn't so satisfied with the names, but I'm so glad that I made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one thing I kept humming and hawing about, trying to make it a cohesive looking collection. And I kind of like finally I gave up on that idea. I was like, let me just pick polishes that represent like my favorite scenes and lines from the movie. And, you know, they look OK together. I would be weirded out if this came out as a collection. Because of all the different finishes and stuff. But I did find a new favorite combo, and that is Hollow Taco's Polar Princess over Featured Guest. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Wow. I don't know why I don't use these shimmer toppers more, but they are so pretty. I really do need to start slapping them on everything just to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely should. I love the look of like an iridescent shimmer or flaky like under nail art. Mm. I don't know if you follow PBL Nails, but they always are doing like a cream and then a iridescent topper and then like doing nail art over it. And they really often also mattify it. And oh my God, like they're one of those people that you watch their videos and you're just like, how are you doing this all so perfect?
Yeah.
Like right before my very eyes.
Yes. Okay. I am following PBL Nails. And yes, I recognize these nails. They're really nice. In fact, that's the technique I used on, remember when we went through each other's favorite from each other's Instagram? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You love this cloud mani that I did. And that's what I did. I put a shimmer underneath the stamped clouds and it made them like pop, made them 3D. So Yeah. I'm looking through this art. This is some good art, PBL Nails. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Doing great.
I'll link them in the description. They, like, if you're looking for ways to up your game without necessarily, it's going to sound like I'm, like, shading PBL Nails. I am not. But ways to up your game with your manis without necessarily upping your skills.
Yeah, because this is something, if you know how to stamp, you can do these nail art looks. But the placement and the colors and knowing, like, when to mattify and when to not, that's something I struggle with.
And the matte top coat just looking so,
yeah,
chef's kiss. Like, that's a skill.
Yeah. So we shopped our own stash for those videos, but have you shopped anything else, Stephanie?
Not really.
Me neither. Look at us.
Yeah. Look at us. Who would have thought? Yeah, we both shopped Polish Pickup. Did you buy a lot? I don't think I've seen your list from Polish Pickup.
Oh, from the sleepover?
Yeah.
I literally only bought Dream Phone.
Oh my God.
I was so honestly disappointed. I really thought I would go nuts on this one and buy a whole bunch. Admittedly, I went, quote, nuts. I bought quite a bit from the wild animal theme one, because I've got those sitting out here in front of me and I love those. But yeah, I didn't see a whole lot from the sleepover that I really wanted. And so I just got Dream Phone, honestly, just like for a memory piece. Not, you know what I mean? Like, it's a beautiful polish, but yeah, no, that's all I got.
Yeah, I bought more, definitely, than you did, obviously. I bought, I think, four polishes. No, three. I think I only bought three. And I also thought I was going to go absolutely crazy. And this year I've been trying, like, obviously I say I've been trying to buy less. I've only bought from Polish Pickup so far this year, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought a few staples. Like, I bought some more stamping polish because, like, that is necessary.
Yeah, no, for what we do need, like, top coat, base coat, stamping, you know. We got to fill those. I haven't bought too much. I think, let me look at here. I think I've only bought, besides Holo Taco, I've only bought from two other brands so far this year, which that's quite a bit of a slowdown from what I was doing last year.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I only bought two polishes this time around. I bought Monarch Lacquer Truth or Dare, that gorgeous, it's two purples, really, purple and a purple shimmer, but it's a warm tone purple versus a cool tone purple shimmer. And then Sizzlin' Shades Dream Phone, because I have a Dream Phone polish and it's not as good as this one. I also bought the People a Top Coat because, of course.
Yeah.
And I also bought a new cuticle pusher because I want one. And I bought the stamping plate, which I'm glad that I got for a number of reasons. But okay. So I was looking through the spoilers. There's not a lot yet. It's video games next time.
I did hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, there's some things that I'm excited about. But so far, nothing that's really like capturing my attention. The one big thing that caught my attention is that one of the makers, and I don't remember who it was, is making a polish called Shepherd based on Mass Effect.
Okay.
And my cat's name is Shepherd, yes, based on Mass Effect.
Perfect.
And she's a tuxedo cat, and they have a tuxedo cat named Rex. And what's great about that is that's another Mass Effect character, and they are known to say, Shepherd, Rex. Well, Shepherd doesn't usually say Rex that low, because Shepherd's not even always a man. And my Shepherd, the cat, and the Shepherds I have always played in Mass Effect have always been women, so... So yeah, I'm excited about that one. I don't know if I'm going to get it or not. I probably will.
Yeah, we'll see. But because I don't think there's anything wrong with getting a polish just for the name or just for the theme. I have quite a few Star Wars polishes that I don't really wear them, but I love them because they're Star Wars.
Yeah.
So that is perfectly that you're allowed to do that.
But one other thing that's happening is that Hit the Bottle is releasing a long nails pattern stamping plate.
Oh.
Which, great. I am a little annoyed because I bought this mid-century modern stamping plate mostly for that shining carpet, that The Shining carpet pattern.
Yeah.
And it's on the long nails plate.
Of course it is.
Which, like, I'm not that mad because I probably would have still bought this and I probably would have still bought that even if neither of them had it on it.
Yeah.
And, like, of course I want a bigger piece of shining carpet but I was just like, really? So if you missed out on the last one, here's your chance to get the shining carpet.
Well, it sounds like I'll probably have to get this one, yeah, because I did not get any, I haven't gotten any stamping plates from PPU in a long time, actually. So I'm overdue for expanding on my stamping plate collection. Not that I don't have enough. I have tons. So yeah,
we have been doing really well on our low buy, but we have been tempted, and there are things coming up that I think are going to be really twisting our arm. So I'm really glad we've been saving, Tay.
Yes, me too. And it's all Circ. Let's be real. It's all Circ. Oh, I just went to their website and they're having St. Patrick's Day sales. You stop that. You stop it. That.
Okay, I'm going to. We're gonna do this together.
Mostly because I wanted to look at the new jellies again, because I have been looking at them longingly for a while. They have one. I'm Hillary from Mediocre Mannies. Please close your ears. They have a Blurple jelly that looks delightful.
How dare you? let me see. Yeah, they do. Oh, wow. That is okay. It's not like neon, but that is so much closer to Synthetic Symphony than the Synthetic Symphony like jelly that Orly did. I'm still salty that they just like, I'm like, this just is not the same tone. And it wasn't even like on my nail. And I'm talking about what Kelly released in her like jellies and toppers collection, like a year ago, 2 years ago. She was supposed to make one that was like a dupe for Synthetic Symphony, but in a jelly formula. And it just isn't. And it makes me so sad. Did you just switch over to your new headphones?
I did. So I missed all of that. But your facial expressions and hand motions told me what you were saying. And I think it was expressing that the Orly jelly of Synthetic Symphony was nothing like Synthetic Symphony. And this looks a lot closer. Did I read your,
yeah. Yeah. It was a warmer tone. She knows when I'm talking about these very specific things.
Well, I tell you what, someone commented on my favorite spring greens. I talked about Orly's Plastic Jungle and mentioned that that whole set was being discontinued. I did not know that. I'm so sad. There goes our Synthetic Symphony, our Plastic Jungle. To be honest, there's a lot of great colors from that. I'm looking at it right now because, man, Orly, bring back your neons, because what is this pink one? Kaleidoscope Eyes is amazing too. Like, I use them all the time.
So did they have any more information? Because basically what we discovered on stream before I went on my hiatus was that you couldn't find, like, they weren't on the Orly website. I went to another place and I bought two more bottles of Synthetic Symphony because ain't no way in hell.
I'm not running out.
I was like, nope, I will not quit.
Yeah.
But like, it's just so bonkers to me. It's so bonkers that I don't fully believe it.
Yeah. Surely they're getting ready for a rebrand or re-release or something. You know, Orly does that sometimes. So yeah, I will still believe. I will still have hope.
Yeah, because Orly hasn't like mentioned it, and they hadn't put it in their like last call section.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I can think, like, here, okay, let's make a prediction. Mm-hmm. Make a prediction right now, and then if I predict it correctly, everybody owes me 10 views.
Yes.
My prediction is that they are doing a special summer thing. Ooh, with Kelly. Okay. That's my prediction. My secondary prediction is that they're just doing a special summer rebranding of these polishes.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, they're going to do some sort of neon. They see how successful like Cirque Vice is and how excited we all get for it. They're listening to our podcast, obviously.
Yeah, they always have been. And I see you, Orly.
So yes, I'm hoping for at very least a neon summer from Orly. Yeah, if it's a Kelly neon summer, that would be even better. I love Kelly and Orly's collaborations. They do fantastic. So
I'm putting into the universe like 20 piece Kelly x Orly neon.
Dude, can we get a summer advent calendar? Can we get a summer advent? Is that allowed?
But can we have it be all full bottles?
Yeah.
Can we just and all available on their own. Like, sell the thing, all full bottles, and then, like, I don't personally even care, then put them on the website as individuals. I just want to share the love.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't call it an advent calendar then, because then they think they're allowed to do silly things like minis. Just call it a collection box, like a collection box with individual little doors.
I will never forgive them for putting some of their best polishes they've ever made in minis in that stupid advent calendar.
Yeah.
Not that it was stupid. It was great.
Yeah.
But the minis were dumb.
The minis were dumb.
I want full bottles.
Sorry. I'm still looking at the Cirque new jellies from their glazed collection. And they're doing a lot of swatches with Spotted, their black speckle polish on top of it. And I love that combo so much. Look at the poppy jelly, the red one with the black speckles. Oh, it's so cute. Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah, Spotted first came out with a jelly collection, correct?
I believe so. Yeah, their first glazed collection.
Yeah. These are gorgeous. These are so many times when I see a Cirque jelly collection, I'm like, well, I don't want that one. Well, I don't want that one. I always get them all eventually because like, but for one thing, I don't talk about this a ton, or maybe I did when we were talking about my Birth of Venus nail art, but like, I use these so much in nail art and not in the ways that most people use jellies in nail art. So I will almost certainly buy all of these, but on their own, they are so gorgeous. And usually I don't feel that way about an entire Cirque jelly collection.
No, I'm so excited. And honestly, I love collecting nail polish. And one thing I've kind of fallen into enjoying is, so as the viewers, the listeners, the audience, as they know...
The observers.
I collect all things from Holo Taco. So, and that's like, I consider that kind of a sub collection. I also am working on collecting all of the Death Valley Nails Dust to Dust polishes. So it's like a subset of that brand. I feel the same way about Cirque jellies. I kind of want to collect them all just to have all the Cirque jellies because they are so special to me. Honestly, same with the Vice collection from Cirque as well, because I kind of consider that like a sub collection thing that I do want to complete. I don't want all the Cirques, although that would be great if someone just like handed them to me. But yeah, so I might just start like buying a little batch of jellies every now and then because I just really enjoy them. They're really cute.
Yeah, there's a chance this entire jelly collection will end up in my order for the Vice collection.
Yes.
Because I will be buying that entire collection as soon as it launches. I'll probably buy the entire thing, even if there's dupes. And Cirque, I swear to God, if there isn't munchies in this collection, I am going to go to your offices and cry in your face.
Yes. Stand outside the door and cry.
I'm like, you see this?
You didn't have to have it this way.
It didn't have to be this way. But yeah, I am so looking forward to that. I cannot wait to do my annual water marble with all the Vice collection colors.
I'm so excited. I'm ready for summer. Like, I don't know. Spring is a beautiful time, especially here in Texas. The wildflowers are blooming and everything's gorgeous. But when it comes to nail polish, summer. Bring on summer. Summer and fall are where it's at for nail polish collections.
Yeah, absolutely agree. It's been easy for us to start the new year off without spending too much money because we don't like these polishes.
You saw another teaser for something else that Cirque might be coming out with.
I did another summer thing and I am freaking out because like...
I missed out on most of these the first time around, and I was so sad about it.
I missed out on all but one of these, but it has the biggest percentage fill line in my entire collection besides a black or a white, like, art polish. And it is Cirque Flamingo, and it's a neon pink with a blue shimmer. Oh, I didn't even say what this is. Yeah. This is the California Dreamin' collection.
So good.
They posted like a little teaser on their Instagram that was just like, who misses this? And so, of course, I was like, me.
Me. Me.
Because like I was even talking this summer about possibly making a dupe of the Flamingo polish, which is so funny because like when you dream of California, if you're thinking of flamingos, you truly are dreaming of California. Because other than at zoos, we do not have those. So they're like, Catalina, whatever. And like, I think a few of them are actually like not, like, I think another one's like Hawaiian. And I'm like, this is a, you're right. You're just dreaming.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know what goes on there. You're like a medieval person trying to describe an animal.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what's in California. Hawaii? Flamingos?
I was just looking through. I think the only one I ended up getting from this collection was Kokomo, which is this gorgeous, mm-hmm. like, teal with a pink shimmer in it. I'm looking at Color Expressions review of it, just to go through the colors again, from 2021. Yes, Kokomo.
It's in the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
The whole song that talks about it.
Yep.
Not in California.
Not in California. No, this is a gorgeous collection. I think, if I remember right, don't they all glow under black light too?
Flamingo does incredibly, and I assume the other ones do too.
Yeah. So, yes, please cert colors. Please start our summer off right by bringing back the California Dreaming collection and the Vice collection.
Yes, please. My family is dying.
We are so hungry.
They need neon pinks with blue shimmers, or else they will surely starve.
It's true, though.
Right? Right? Yeah, I cannot wait for the Vice collection. And yeah, I'm so excited about seeing what they're going to bring back. And I'm so excited to see the new stuff. The ones that I really want to see back, the two ones, are two that I missed from the first Vice collection, mm-hmm. I bought from, where I just bought Gossip because it was a hot pink and it's nice, but like it's not gonna be going on my favorite pinks video. Mm. And Munchies, which is supreme. But
yeah, I need Munchies. I still don't have that one.
Yeah, it's, you do. Everyone does. But yeah, it's Munchies and Narcisse, which is a cool toned pastel neon purple. And they released Klepto, I think, last year.
Which,
it's more of a warm tone or a mid-tone neon pastel purple. and I'm sorry, it just won't do.
Exactly.
I have needs. So yeah, we're going to be buying from that. But there's another collection that has caught our eye, and Danny, our correspondent on the street, is going to fill us in on it.
Yeah, I feel like I need a weather map. I'm like, all right, we've been seeing some activity from the Holo Taco Instagram. They released a teaser for a new bundle. I don't think it's a full collection because it is releasing on this Wednesday. So I have a feeling it's going to be just a small bundle, and it seems to be ice cream themed, or at least cookies and cream themed, which is very exciting. So obviously I love Cirque Spotted. We just talked about it a whole bunch, and it's a black flaky topper that you can, you know, use in so many different ways. And it seems like Holo Taco is now releasing their answer to it. And from what I've seen / read in the universe of Holo Taco is that it seems like they're going to be slightly larger black flakies and stuff. So more like black, more like a true flaky rather than little flecks or little spots, which is very exciting. So, because, you know, we need more black flaky toppers. There's not enough in the world. So I'm welcoming that with open arms. And then the other one looks like a white shimmer, like a true white shimmer. Unlike Featured Guest, which was, let's be honest, a gray holo, which I love. I think it's beautiful. It seems like we're actually going to get a white holo taco that's maybe milky. It seems to be the implication. It's going to become what it swore to destroy.
I am so looking forward to this for maybe more than two reasons. But first off, a larger flaky black topper need. I'm in need of that.
How often do I use toppers? Almost never. I still need it.
Yep. Absolutely. And stuff like, you know, Spotted and black toppers, and even like I'm wearing a crackle topper right now because I did nail art based off of the unknown from the Classico Wonka experience.
Yes.
Because I am not free from sin either. but like, those kind of things, I think, are some of the easiest and most effective ways to create like visual noise in your manis. So I'm really looking forward to that. Also, I feel like I'm the only person in, like, our general crew who, like, legit loves white nail polish.
I love white nail polish.
Okay, good.
Yeah. No, honestly, if whenever I paint my nails white as a Manny base, sometimes I'll wait to actually do the nail art the next day because I just enjoy having white nails. And I don't care that they look like teeth, Hillary. I think they look great. I wish my teeth were that white.
Are your teeth a white tips or are they a sassy ne pas blanc?
Yeah, definitely a little more sassy ne pas blanc.
Sassy nas pass.
Sassy nas pass.
Nas pass. Yeah, yeah. And that's natural, actually. I've learned that in art. Just kind of like, try not to make teeth white because they're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to look weird. But yeah, I love whites. I love white shimmers specifically. Mm-hmm. I really love whites with like a contrasting shimmer.
Yeah.
But I'm just so excited to see whatever they come up with. I might even buy it.
I know. We'll see real soon. I'm very excited about it because I'm glad it's not another full collection. I like the smaller bundles. It seems like from the teaser, it seems like it might even only be two polishes, which would be great because
yeah,
I just don't want that much polish consistently.
I'd be really excited if they just did two because first off, it's our birthdays.
Yeah.
So perhaps we can combine the birth and like the birthday freebie. Mm-hmm. And then we can get that. And then I can get a few of the polishes I've been meaning to get that like, so I'd only order Holo Taco when like something new comes out. And I'm like, yeah, I want that. This new thing when it came out. And then I always have like a backlog of like, well, this and that. I'm going to get their yellow and green iridescent flakies because I've like been regretting not getting them a lot recently. And then also maybe some of their other like flaky toppers. And I'm so glad because this looks like this collection is really a return to form.
Yeah.
For Holo Taco. And I love that.
Yes. Yeah. The last collection was, it was weird. The polishes were nice, you know, like they were good polishes on their own. But I do feel like they're starting to get further and further from like that original like cream plus toppers combo. And I want that back. So I'm excited.
I also feel like just like visually, because I haven't really bought any of these kind of like mixed and more exciting, for lack of a better term, polishes. I just don't feel like they are as good as other brands' polishes that are similar to them.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I'm glad that you do. Because, like, yeah, I'm literally just, like, I don't have them. So I can't really say it. But I see them and I'm just like, this isn't, like, other brands that, say, are on polish pickup. Or, you know, not every brand on polish pickup. They're not all winners. But a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Like, you look at them, you're like, oh, wow, this dimension is so purposeful. And I feel like it really does this or it really does that. And, like, whenever I see one of these Holo Taco ones, I'm always just kind of like, why is there so much crap in this?
Yeah, or not enough crap, if that makes sense. Because, like, Existential Crisis has a lot of crap in it. And everybody loves that one. And for good reason. It's the right balance, the right ratio. But yeah, it's well known that Holo Taco's magnetics aren't that great. They're pretty, but they don't magnetize super well and stuff like that. They are doing a little bit more. So like I'm looking at I'm Rover It right now, and you know, they make a nice shimmer, but they do always add, like, it didn't need the Holo glitter in there, which I know, blasphemy, but but like, you know, it's a little, it didn't need that. It could just be a nice shimmer. The crushed Holo formula, they should expand on that. It'd be nice to see a crushed Holo rainbow because that is a really nice formula and stuff. But yeah, I feel like they are trying to do a little too much right now. And it's like, you're not an indie brand, so you don't have to like keep up with all these crazy glitter mixes. Just do what you do best, which is like really nice formulas in rainbows.
Yeah. And like, besides the fact you bring up, like, they didn't need the Holo in that. I feel like in some ways, I wouldn't go as far as say like they're shooting themselves in the foot, but like, okay. So a lot of times, like, so ILNP will release stuff that has Holo in it or not. And I will almost always buy the not Holo version of whatever I'm getting, usually multi-chromes, and then put Holo on top if I want to.
Exactly. So,
Hollow is missing the opportunity to say, here's our new orange shimmer, and here it is with our scattered Hollow topper. You should buy both.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. That was the kind of the base of the brand was, you know, exciting toppers over your, you know, kind of staples.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're, yeah. No, what you said. Perfect. Chef's kiss.
Thank you. I'm so glad that my opinions on a brand I hardly buy. I say that as I have an entire drawer of them behind me. So it's
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Mommy Christine, for getting me into this hobby.
Yes. No, forever grateful.
Yeah. And like, yeah, if anyone ever asked me, like, I've had people ask me just like IRL mm-hmm. who have realized I'm into nail polish. They like, there was one person who like didn't paint their nails, but they watched Simply Nailogical and they're like, is the nail polish really that good? And I was like, basically, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the only... Speaking of whites, the only like Hollow taco that I've ever had an issue with is Not Milky White. And it's still my go-to white because it, you know, it came out very early. I think that was like the second collection or third collection. So when I first started painting my nails with it, I thought it was a me problem or maybe a batch issue or something. So I bought additional bottles of it. So I've just been trying to use up Not Milky White and I do not plan on rebuying it.
So sorry, Danny.
It's okay. Eventually I'll get around to Orly White Tips, but I gotta use up what I have already first. And I'm trying. I'm maybe about halfway through my bottle.
I cannot live that way. I cannot live that way. A while back, I bought Alpine Snow, which is Kelly Marissa's favorite white. And Kelly, you are wrong. Yes. It's so bad. It's just as bad, if not worse, than the original formula, Not Milky White. It is just so bad. Yeah, I don't. I'm just sitting here like, how do you...
How do you live with yourself, Kelly?
How do you live with yourself? But yeah, I'm also excited about, I'm very curious to see what this milky, perhaps white is because.
Yeah.
Personally, I prefer if I'm doing a full mani for my white to be a little milky because I like a little milky better than chalky and having that like very harsh line where you cleaned your nails.
Yep.
If you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
do not like it. And then it like. You know, it stains your nail, like your cuticles with the white.
Yeah, because it's like painting with white out. You know, like it's chunky and it shows every little streak, every little mistake. You know, if you bumped your brush wrong, it's there forever. Yeah, I'd rather have a more self-leveling formula that maybe takes an extra coat. Oh, no. I'm going to paint two coats anyway. Wah. It's fine.
I paint three coats on almost every single polish because my nail line is so, like, it shows off so much.
Mm.
So I don't care.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see her join the dark side of Milky Whites. But yeah, speaking of Milky Whites, we have some of that coming up in the next part of our program. So we are going to oil our cutes, and then when we come back, we're going to answer some audience questions. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, it's Stephanie, and I'm here to tell you that if you're loving the show, please consider joining us on Patreon, where you can be a lackey. That's LACQUI lackey. Every new lackey gets a special shout out on the podcast. And now back to the show. All right, everybody, we are back. We are moisturized. We are in our lane. We are thriving. We have both oil. Danny, what did you use?
I used, let's see, this is Inspired Scents Lemon Lavender Nail Salve. Salve? Sorry, salve.
Nail Salve.
Nail Salve. That's not, it squats and it wears Adidas.
I love it. Where's my nail salve when I need it?
It's really good. It's mostly shea butter, I think. So it's very greasy in a good way.
Oh, I love that. I'm wearing my own mix, but I'm always curious as to what you are wearing because you get to do the fun stuff.
I do. I'm sorry. I wish you could indulge with me. I have been obsessing over, let's see, Northern Star's cuticle oil, chai scented, like the tea, you know, chai. Yeah. It's really,
I don't know
if any of if all of our audience knows, but yeah, it's a spice mixed tea and it's so good. I just like to sit there and smell my fingers for a while. You know, like a normal person.
Yeah. So we have some audience questions, and we are going to start off with a question from our beloved Doomed Red Shirt. This question tickled me so much, and we'll get into it. But the question is, who is your favorite historical figure, and what nail polish would you assign them? So I think I would want a nice seafoam green for Thomas Jefferson to match his Hatsune Miku binder.
How long do we have on this podcast for you to explain that?
I am not going to explain that.
Zero context. You guys just got to put it together yourselves.
That is not my favorite historical figure, but that is a very funny Tumblr story if you want to look into it. But this question made me think of it, assigning historical figures nail polish. But Danny, let's start with you. What is your favorite historical figure? We've both chosen a few.
Yeah, I picked a little trio of my favorite adventure scientists. So my favorite historical figure of all time is Charles Darwin. The founder of the idea behind natural selection, and just an all-around fascinating guy. He had a fascinating life, and he was... I've read a couple books about him, and I think we would get along so well. Because he was an adventurer in his younger years, but he was very much a hermit in his older years, and just wanted to be home with his kids and, like, just go on nature walks, and that's just delightful. I just love Charles Darwin. So I think he, out of all of everyone, would appreciate fossils from Death Valley Nails, from their Dust to Dust collection, which is made, you know, from ground up actual fossils, which I think is so cool. And I think he would appreciate, like, the interestingness about that, because it is a very, you know, it's a sheer polish. It looks like little bits of rocks on your nails. Yeah. And I don't think he needs anything flashier than that. I think he'd be content with that. He is still, as far as I know, the leading expert on barnacles. So it tells you that he's willing to sit down and appreciate the little things more so than anyone else. So yeah, I think he would love fossils from Death Valley Nails. My second pick in my little adventurers is Alfred Russel Wallace, which is the contemporary to Darwin. He actually came up with the idea of natural selection at the same time as Darwin, but Darwin had more resources and kind of better language to express that idea. Alfred Russel Wallace came from a more poor background, so he actually ended up selling a lot of the specimens that he collected just to, like, live.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he has a little bit of a sadder story, but also kind of more the adventurous kind. So he was the one, he was bushwhacking. He was out in the jungle, walking around, trying to figure stuff out. So I would give him Orly's Plastic Jungle, because it's bright, exciting. The top just fell off. It's a bright, exciting adventure green that I think matches his kind of wonder of the world. And of course, he was out in the jungles a lot, so I feel like a bright jungle green matches him perfectly. And lastly, I have Miss Mary Anning, the princess of paleontology, our fossil collector. And she's kind of somewhere in the middle between Darwin and Wallace, in that she was adventurous. She loved going out and collecting fossils, but she also wasn't, like, in the jungle, you know, whacking her way through the bushes and stuff. She was still a British lady. I think the Victorian era.
Victorian for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So many layers.
So many petticoats. You know, you can't go out in the jungle with that many petticoats. But I appreciate her so much. She feels like the Jane Austen of science. Like, that kind of an independent woman mindset, but still adhering to, like, the proper British things. Which I just think is a fun dichotomy. And yeah. So I would give her Sabretooth from Mooncat, because it's, you know, this cool, beautiful shimmer, but then it's mattified to, like, soften it up and stuff. And I think she'd love a color like that, where it's a little exciting, but also has a soft beauty to it. So yeah, that's my trio.
I love that. Okay, so I have also accidentally stumbled upon a theme because I was going through my favorite historical figures. And with the exception of one that we're not going to talk about today, I realized they were all playwrights. So you're getting theater, Stephanie, today. You're welcome. So the first one that I'm going to talk about is possibly my favorite playwright. I think maybe not my favorite playwright overall, but a playwright that I think is very misunderstood, and that is Chekhov. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people probably don't even know who Chekhov is just listening to this podcast. If you're in theater, you almost certainly know who Chekhov is. If you're not in theater, you might not know. So his plays include The Cherry Orchard, The Seagull, Uncle Vanya, Three Sisters. And basically what I find so interesting about Chekhov is that when he wrote his plays, he intended them mostly to be comedies. And he was in the same circles and worked with this director called Stanislavski. And in fact, in theater schools, generally, people still read Stanislavski books about acting. They're fantastic. The thing is, how I read Chekhov and how at least one of my teachers in theater school read Chekhov is that it's basically like a Wes Anderson comedy. So a lot of things that like wouldn't seem funny except for the delivery. One of my favorite parts, and I don't remember what play this is from, unfortunately, even though I love Chekhov, I'm like, I wish I was more well-versed in Chekhov. But there's a part where this guy comes into a room and he tries to shoot this other person and he misses like three times and then he just slumps into a chair and is like, ugh, never mind.
Sounds like a Wes Anderson scene.
He's so very Wes Anderson. And that's exactly how it described to me. Because the thing is that if you're familiar with Chekhov, you're almost certainly familiar with this like very dry, very sad, very Russian way of portraying his work. And there are actually letters between him and Stanislavski where he's basically like, you're doing my play wrong. And Stanislavski's like going away on a skateboard being like, can't hear you. And so like, because Stanislavski wrote books about like acting and directing, and because he was what everybody saw of these, everybody who, you know, were into these plays, they saw them directed by Stanislavski.
Mm-hmm.
When they first were produced, they just all assumed that this work was just very dry, very sad. I just think he's so misunderstood.
Yeah.
So misunderstood. And I love him. So for Chekhov, I would give him Pineapples Have Feelings too.
Such a perfect pick.
Because if you're looking at that polish as being a beautiful polish, a polish that should, you know, be worn on the most beautiful of nails or whatever, you're gonna be like, this thing is the worst. This is the worst polish.
Tragedy.
Ever. I hate it. It's a tragedy. But if you see it as a comedy, it's great. It's
yep.
Great. Laughs. The laughs never end. So yeah, Chekhov gets Pineapples Have Feelings too. I think he'd look beautiful in it. No, I don't think anybody looks beautiful in that polish, but I think it's a really funny polish. And if you see it from that point of view, I think that you will love it too. And
yes.
That's the same way I feel about Chekhov. I hope that some modern film director just gets a bee in their bonnet. I need to put a bee in someone's bonnet to like do some Chekhov movies in the Wes Anderson style, and my life will be complete.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
So the next one that I have is Oscar Wilde, another playwright, also wrote books. He wrote The Picture of Dorian Gray. My favorite thing that he did was The Importance of Being Earnest, which is a comedy of manners, and it is so stupid funny. There is a version with Colin Firth and Rupert Everett, and their songs, and it's so good. We need to watch it in the Discord sometime, because
yes.
it is just so much fun, and I believe Reese Witherspoon plays kind of the more unhinged female love interest who just writes fake stuff in her diary and then is like, but like, look, you proposed to me on this day. Anyway, I love that play. I love so much of his work. And another thing I love about Oscar Wilde and about this other piece is that he is pretty instrumental in the movie Velvet Goldmine, which is one of my favorite movies. They describe him as the first pop idol. He was a queer man. He did get imprisoned for being queer. And in that movie, he has this pendant that eventually gets into the glam rock scene in England, and somehow people know it belonged to him. I don't know. He was also supposed to be an alien in that piece. That piece is wild.
Yes, it is.
It's Oscar wild. But anyway, I have chosen a nail polish that reminds me of the pendant in Velvet Goldmine, because I do think it's something he would wear. It's very beautiful. It's green and shimmery. And the polish that I chose was Poison Garden by Envy Lacquer. Also, I think that Oscar Wilde's chosen sin might have been envy. He was very much about seeing and being seen and being envied by others. He coined the phrase, the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. So I think that the whole shebang, Envy Lacquer, the name on it, Poison Garden, it really makes me think of kind of a Victorian garden, because it is based off of this poison garden in England, which might have even been around when Oscar Wilde was alive. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It looks old timey, but like it could be, you know, 30s, or it could be Victorian era. We don't, well, I'm sure we could know. I could find out, but I'm not going to.
It's not the point.
It's not the point. The point is that I think that Envy Lacquer Poison Garden is perfect for Oscar Wilde. I think he'd love it. I think he would wear it.
Yes.
This is the one polish I've talked about where I'm like, I think they would wear it.
It looked good in it too. It's a beautiful polish. Yeah. And it's like, it's dark and moody, but still like bright with the green shimmer, so it's still dramatic.
Yes, it's gorgeous. But yeah, so that is my choice for Oscar Wilde. And my last one, of course, is our bestie Billy. We have William Shakespeare represented here because I love Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare so much. Call me basic, but I love Shakespeare. And I have two nail polish picks for him. This is like Shakespeare during the day, Shakespeare in the park, and Shakespeare after dark. That's where we're going.
Yeah.
So for Shakespeare in the park, we have Orly Blue Iris, which is this beautiful periwinkle purple cream, well, blue. I think it's more blue.
I put it in my blue category, yeah. But it's, oh, it's gorgeous. That's a great pick.
Yeah, and it released with a purple, so it's like a lot easier to be like, this is blue. And I just think of his flowery language and especially his sonnets and, you know, compare thee to a summer's day, things like that. Just really beautiful, beautiful language. And then the other pick I had for William Shakespeare is Ember Lacquer, Milk Me White, because boy was that man dirty. He was so dirty. I actually saw a post recently where somebody was claiming that Shakespeare was so time-tested because he like didn't talk about dirty things in his plays. And I'm like, please take the monologue that the porter says in Macbeth.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Please read that over. Because
yeah.
That is one big D joke.
Yeah. That's all it is.
The entire thing. And it's like, tell me that you don't know how to read Shakespeare. That's telling me you don't know how to read Shakespeare.
Right? Way to expose yourself for not knowing what the heck he's talking about.
Which is valid, by the way. If you're ever like, oh, I need, like, they do, like, these, like, Shakespeare's where they, like, write, they have the whole play on one side, mm-hmm. and they have the meeting on the other side. Yes.
Yeah.
Read it that way.
That's what I read in high school, because I was like, the first time I read, because that's the thing, when you're reading Shakespeare, first of all, it's a play. And I think it's a shame that most people experience Shakespeare by reading it in class. That's not how it was meant to be experienced. But yeah, you do need to like understand the story and then you can like appreciate the language. Because if you're just trying to read Shakespeare and you don't know what they're talking about, you're not going to enjoy it. Of course not. So yeah, highly recommend like reading the story first and then going back for the language.
Yeah, absolutely. And watching a few different interpretations of it. I love pretty much every Shakespeare piece that Kenneth Branagh has produced. He always understands it. He always just performs it perfectly. He has a version of Much Ado About Nothing with his wife at the time, Emma Thompson. And it is so funny. Keanu's in it. P.S. Also, Denzel. It never ends. Okay, go watch that, please. It's so good. And Much Ado About Nothing might be my favorite Shakespeare play. I think it is. So anyway, I'm going to stop fangirling over Shakespeare.
I was liking it.
Okay, well, I could go on and on. But yeah, if you ever want to have recommendations about how to view different Shakespeare plays, like, legit hit me up. DM me. As long as I actually catch that you've DM'd me, I will answer. Just like, oh, you want this one? Okay, well, this is what I recommend.
Maybe that should be our next shopper stash, like, mini collection thing, because I really enjoyed that format, is our favorite Shakespeare play.
Yes!
That would be fun.
Yes!
Oh, I'd have a hard time picking between. I love Romeo and Juliet. It's the first Shakespeare play that I read and actually, like, really understood what was happening, yeah. You know? And I feel like there's so many different interpretations of it, and they're all really special in their own way. However, mm-hmm. 10 Things I Hate About You being Taming of the Shrew is hilarious. Like, you can't... Taming of the Shrew is so good.
Anyway, enough with the playwright talk. We will continue that on our own. In fact, already have. I think this is enough for today. Danny, take us out.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel and leave a comment with your favorite moment, a story to share, your favorite playwright, and of course, any questions you'd like us to answer in future episodes.
Please tell us your favorite playwright and discuss our takes. But also be sure to check out Danny and I on Twitch, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a YouTube, both of us,
yes.
And also the podcast. You can find it by typing our names or the podcast names into YouTube search. I know it's difficult. But on our YouTube channel, you already said that. But anyway... I am Fanatic here. She is Danny Shout. All our links are in the description. Join us next time when we write a Shakespearean sonnet based on our favorite nail polish.
Stay lacquered.